Exodus 14 with me. Exodus 14. I hope you follow along closely and listen carefully. Ask the Lord to give you attentive ears and receptive heart. And I hope you're enjoying these studies. I hope you are. My job as a preacher is to rightly divide the word of truth, or in other words, to appropriately apply it. And we don't get anything out of this unless we see how it applies to us, unless it's very relevant. Paul wrote, and I quoted this to you, he said, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Whatever happened is written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." And do you remember this over in 1 Corinthians 10 where he said, "These things happened unto them," children of Israel, "for example. They are written for our admonition." So that's what this story is all about. That's why it was recorded, for us to read it and not forget and to learn from their mistakes, or rather sin and rebellion. The book of Hebrews says so much about that. But let's not let these things slip, the things we've heard. The gospel was preached to these people as unto us. All right, now the rest of the book of Exodus, we've been studying this book, and the rest of the book from here on is about the children of Israel. They're leaving Egypt. And it's about their sojourn in the wilderness. Or that sojourn means wandering. They don't ever stop and stay there, but they are wandering through the wilderness. And this is a good picture of us passing through. And that's all we're doing, is passing through this world. Now, they're just starting out on this journey here in chapter 14. They're just starting out, and this is a trip. Every step of the way is directed by the Lord. Look at it, verses 1 and 2. "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea." The Lord had them. They were heading out. And they were heading in a certain direction, and the Lord turned them and said, "No, you're going here, this exact place, this particular exact place." The Lord directed their steps to a particular place. Well, that's what the Scripture says about all of us. It says, "Man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." And that's comforting to know, isn't it? We turn here, we turn there, we think a lot is cast in the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Listen to this. "Man's goings," this is Proverbs 20, "man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his way?" We can't. We don't know where we're going. Or like Thomas said, how can we know the way? Remember? And the Lord said, I'm the way. I'm the way. Now the Lord directed them this way, this particular way, to hem them in. To hem them in up against the sea for a reason. We just sung that, how that the Lord, we sang it about ourselves. The Lord has tried us. Well, the Lord is hemming them in, putting them in a place where their defense and their salvation is absolutely impossible with them. He's going to show them salvation is of the Lord. He's going to keep showing them that all the way through the wilderness. The Lord showed them wonderfully and mightily, bringing them out of Egypt, didn't he, with all those signs and wonders. And then he brings them into the wilderness, and the first thing he does is hem them in, box them up to where it looks like the enemy has got them cornered. Look at verse 3 and 4. Pharaoh will say, our Lord speaking here, Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they're entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. The children of Israel did exactly what the Lord told them to do, though he didn't speak out loud. But they did what he told them to do. And the Egyptians did what he told them to do. He didn't even speak to them through a messenger, did he? Moses didn't run back and tell Pharaoh what the Lord said. They did it. Well, the adversary thinks God's saints are shut in and will be overcome in this world. No. The fact of the matter is, John, we're shut up by faith. Shut up to faith. The Lord's one that hems us in at times to show us His mighty arm to bring us out. Verses 5 through 9, it was told the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, the Egyptians, that is, why have we done this? We've let Israel go from serving us. Now, just a short time before that, they sounded like friends of the Israelites. Not anymore. Now, he made ready his chariot, and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains, mighty men, over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out, they went out with a high hand. We saw that, didn't we, in the last chapter. Over and over, a high hand, a high hand. So we have this token. Have you looked at your hand this week? He brought them out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh. All the horses. Everything Pharaoh had at his disposal. His mightiest men. His most powerful army. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army. And they caught up with them. They overtook them, encamping by the sea, beside Pi-Hahiroth and before Baal-Zephon. Now, Pharaoh and his servants are not willing to let these children of Israel go so easily. The Lord told him to let them go, and he did. But then, shortly afterward, he's not so willing to let them go. Pharaoh represents our great adversary, who's a true foe, though we cannot see him. Satan. Once we were captives of his, that's what Paul said to young Timothy, that, oh, that God might deliver those who are held captive by the devil at his will. Satan was once our captor, but now, like Pharaoh, he's the captain, isn't he?
He's doing the Lord's will here.
He thinks he's doing what he sets out to do. What he wants to do. He's doing the Lord's bidding. So is Satan. Now, think about this. Satan, we were once his servant. And he knows when one of his own is taken from him. He knows that. He knows. And he will not give up so easily. However, Satan is not, listen to this, or be reminded of this, Satan is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. Satan doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. No, he doesn't. People, there's only one person who knows the future. That's God. Satan is not omnipresent. He's got many demons and devils. But he himself is one person. The Lord our God now is omnipresent. Not Satan. Think, keep that in mind. He cannot foretell the future. Well, anyway, the children are just beginning their journey. They're just beginning their journey. And they're already in danger. They're already being pursued and in danger. They've just begun this journey. I told you last week that the Lord will not put on us more than we're able to bear. Nevertheless, every one of God's people, as soon as they start this walk of faith, will be persecuted. Immediately. Immediately. They will be have trouble. The believer no sooner starts this walk of faith through this world when he's immediately pursued and persecuted and hounded and beset behind and before with troubles. I can imagine the children of Israel when they were leaving Egypt. I can just hear them. I went through the same thing. They were leaving with shouts of joy. Free at last. Singing, we're marching to Zion. Our troubles are over. Don't you know that, Brother Henry? They were thinking, our troubles are over. We're headed to the promised land. And our troubles are over. No. 40 years. You're going to wander. Your troubles with God are over. But your troubles in this world are just starting. In this world, our Lord said, you shall have tribulation. You shall. Now remember, all of this is ordered by the Lord, though. Every bit of it. He put them in this, he hemmed them up. Look at verses 10 through 12. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word we did tell, didn't we tell you before in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? It had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Is that right? Is that true? Would they have been better off in Egypt? No. And it would be better for us to die going through this world, passing through this world, die in faith, to go on and live with Christ, than to live in this world dead to God. Right? Oh, yeah. They didn't know what they were saying. A little bit of trouble came their way. They were ready to quit. Now these Egyptians represent our sins, our past lives, which seem to pursue us, our sins which hound us. And we once thought they were our friends. That makes sense. We once thought they were our friends. Now we're trying to get away from them. Now we want to escape them. But they're right on our heels. Isn't that right? But the messenger of the gospel, the Lord has His messenger of the gospel. Wherever His people are in trouble, He has His messenger of the covenant. Moses was there. To a fearful and trembling people, verse 13 and 14, Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom you have seen today, you shall see them again, no more, forever." And the Lord, read on, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Go with me to Isaiah 30. This is, some of you probably knew we had to go over and look at this. Isaiah 30. I love this. I'll never forget the first time I read this. Isaiah 30. Through the messenger, the Lord said, "Fear not, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. The Lord shall fight for you." Or like over there in 2 Chronicles, John, verse 20, chapter 20, where old Jehoshaphat said, "You don't need to fight this battle. The battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. Just stand still." Look here at Isaiah 30. Look at verse 7. "The Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still." Sit still. Verse 15. "Thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." Oh, that's a sad line in it, but you would not. Oh, but bless God, by God's mercy and grace, I will. Will you just rest in Christ? Look to Him. Stand still. Just stand still. The battle is not yours, but the Lord. Go back to the text. Stand still, He said, and see. Stand still. This thing of salvation. Brother John Davis, when he first started coming here, I remember preaching a message entitled Passive Righteousness. You remember that? And he was so rejoiced over that, because there's great comfort to be had in just standing still and just being passive and the Lord doing everything for you and to you. It's not up to you. It's not up to you. Stand still and see, or behold. Now, these are a bunch of farmers and brick makers and bread makers on foot. And here comes Pharaoh, a man who is skilled in the art of war. That's all he's ever done. And all of his mighty captains, who that's all they've ever done is shed blood. And all of these chariots with his greatest and mightiest horses, much faster than anyone on foot. And here they come, these marauders. What can a bunch of farmers do anyway? They don't have any weapons. They don't have anything. This thing, it would be impossible with them, wouldn't it, to defend themselves? But the Lord says, "Stop, you just watch." Behold means to watch. See. Behold your God. He'll save you. Behold your God. He'll come. I love that Isaiah 25. They'll say in that day, "This is our God we've waited on. He'll save us." Yeah. And John stood one day and said, "Here he is. Behold. The Lamb of God. He's going to take away all these Egyptians. You'll not see them again anymore." He'll remove our sins from us. Put away our sins forever. And it will be said, iniquity will be sought for. You'll not see them again forever. But now, they are going to see them, if you're paying attention. They are going to see these Egyptians. But they're going to look to see them differently. Different eyes. Some of you have read ahead, haven't you? They're going to see them all right, but they're not going to fear them. see them differently. Verse 15. The Lord shall fight for you. Verse 14. You shall hold your peace. Let me just say a word there. You shall hold your peace. That means you'll just stop your mouth. They were murmuring and complaining and crying out bitterly, and they're just going to... David, didn't David say that? I said, I'll put my hand over my mouth. I'm not speaking as a fool. Job said that. On and on. You shall hold your peace. And when the Lord makes peace for you, you're going to lay hold of your peace. You're going to have true peace when you see salvation is truly of the Lord. You're going to have true peace. You are going to rest. You are going to rest. From then on, you're going to really rest. They didn't, Henry. Brother Henry, they didn't rest, did they? That's what Hebrews 4 is all about. They didn't really believe the Lord in spite of that. But bless God, by God's grace, we shall. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. We're resting in Christ. Read on. Verse 15. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Apparently Moses turned to the Lord and cried again unto him. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Don't back up. Don't turn around. Go forward. But Lord, there's a sea. We're hemmed in. Go on. Go forward. Keep reading. He said to Moses, lift thou up thy rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Lift up thy rod, and I'll divide that sea. What's this speaking of? Well, the sea, as we said before, represents many things. It can represent this vast gulf that's fixed between us and our God. Right? Vast gulf that's fixed. And Christ is the way. Christ is that rod of the stem of Jesse by whom we cross over to God, isn't it? We go right through to God. And Christ was lifted up, the rod. Was lifted up, like Moses lifted up. And because he's lifted up, the way to God is open. Pardon. Like the veil in the temple was rent. The veil in the temple was rent. And the rod is God's Word. We've seen that all the way through. The rod is God's Word, which divides and separates them. We go over by God's Word, by His command, the Word, by the Word. By the word of His power is how we're going to pass over to the promised land. And by that same word, these things are kept in store. Isn't that what Peter read? By the same word, the heavens are kept in store. By His word of promise, by His will and purpose, we're kept by the power of God from being destroyed. And we're going to pass over by His word. By that same word, the Egyptians are going to be drowned. They're going to be destroyed. By the same word. God's word, which justifies us, condemns all the enemy. Verse 17 and 18. And I beheld, and I behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow the children of Israel. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon all his chariot, and upon all his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariot, and upon his horsemen. I will get me honor, even in the death of these Egyptians. God will get honor even in the damnation of the wicked. That honors God. The world doesn't believe it. The damnation of the wicked will honor God's holiness. It will honor God's justice. It will honor God's word, who said he's going to do it. Warn them. Fairly warn them. Verse 19. And the angel of the camp of Israel. Who's that? Well, that's the Holy Spirit of God who leads us. Who leads us? Read on. The angel who went before the camp of Israel removed. Did he lead them? No. He just went behind them.
Got between them and him.
The Holy Spirit who leads and guides us also surrounds us, gets behind us, separates us from the world and the world from us. And the pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them. Oh, my. Read on. Verses 20 through 22. It came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, this pillar of cloud and fire. It came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud and darkness to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to the Israelites. You remember that? So that the one came not near the other all the night. How can light have fellowship? How can the sons of God have fellowship with the sons of God? They won't have anything to do with you, and you really don't want anything to do with them. How can darkness and light fellowship? They can't. And God has made the difference. God made a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Moses stretched out his hand, verse 21, over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. True story. In the midst of the sea. That's the title of this message. Passing through the midst of the sea. Well, you can't do that. And not. Yes, you can. In the world you shall have tribulation. Can somebody get through this world and not be overcome by it? Yes. All of God's people do. They are not even going to have any mud on their feet when this is over. And on dry land. And as I said, what will be this? What will overcome all those of this world? We pass through by the word of the Lord. Remember His prayer in John 17? That's why. Father, I will that You keep them through Thy truth. Keep them. They're of the world, but they're not of the world. They're in the world, but not of the world. I pray not that You should take them out of the world, but keep them from it. They've got to pass through this world to keep them from being overcome by it. And the waters, it says, were a wall unto the children of Israel. Could not on them. And when you start to think this world is, when this world is coming, caving down in on you, going to crash down on you, remember, who upholds all things by the word of His power. And only He that now letteth will let. And it's a wall unto you. It's not going to overtake you. No, sir. God's promise. Read on. I'm trying to get through all of this. Doing pretty well. Verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. They got bogged down. So that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. It says all of Pharaoh's, I want you to turn to this with me, 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings 6. You got to turn to this. This is as good as Isaiah 30. All of Pharaoh's horses and chariots, everything at his disposal went after the children of Israel. All of them. Now, how many were there? How many captains and horses and chariots could Pharaoh have? I know this. He had a lot. But there were 2 million children of Israel. He doesn't have that many chariots. No way. Because they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I know that's a fact. Satan, if he had enough demons and devils to hound us, we'd be hounded 24 hours a day, every day, all day, every day. But he didn't have it.
Thank God.
But look at this. The Lord has that many angels. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. This is the story of Elisha and his servant. And they were surrounded. You remember the whole army, the Philistines, I believe it was, the Syrians. The whole army of the Syrians came out after one man. What does it matter if the whole army is against them? If God be for them, what does it matter? At any rate, the whole army went after one man. Try to bring one man, Elisha. And verse 15, his servant, young fella, was risen early and gone forth. Behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant ran back into Elisha and said, fear not, for they that be with us, are more than they that be with them. I don't see any. You know, his servant said, Master, I've believed you up until now. But look. So Elisha prayed to God that his servant would look. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. He saw and beheld the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about one man. One man. Now, Ed, are you getting this? How many did God send to protect one man? Let alone two big. They that be for us are more than they that are with them. Every one of us, it's true, we've heard this from a child, but it's true, every one of us has an angel. Angels watching over us, lest we dash our foot against the stone. That's right. That's not just an old child's tale, that's God's word. God's word. Watching over us. We are immortal until God is through with us. And then when it's time, the whole army can't save us. All right, so remember that for your own comfort. Verses 24 and 25, back in our text. So he took their wheels off. So they, you know, the way of the transgressor is hard. That's what the scripture said. He took their wheels off. It made it rough going through the sea. The world thinks they got it easy. Enjoying yourself? Yeah, I sure am. I got all this. And I have to work 7 days a week to keep it. The way of the transgressor is hard. Keeping up with the Joneses is real hard. But it says in verse 26, Now the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea. Now, the Egyptians are down in the sea, and the children of Israel are coming out of the sea on dry land. And the Lord told Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptian, upon their chariot, upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. Now, the children of Israel apparently were walking through at nighttime. Weren't they? Because this happened in the morning. And in spite of that pillar of fire and that pillar of cloud and all, you know they were still afraid. And walking through, and though the water was a wall to them on the right and the left, yet it was still, they were still afraid. You know they were. How long is it going to hold up? Don't you know? They're walking through. He's going to bring it down on, crashing down on them. They were still afraid. still afraid, walking all night. Weeping may endure for a night. And in the morning, oh, my soul waiteth for thee, the scripture says, more than they that watch in the morning. Everything's always more difficult at nighttime. Sicknesses, sorrows, worries are more difficult at night. What a picture that is. We're out from under the Word in darkness. We don't have any comfort. The Word, which is a light, a lamp, dispels our darkness and our clouds and our fear. Well, in the morning, it says, the waters came. In verse 27, in the morning they appeared, and the Egyptians fled. They tried to flee, but you can't flee from God. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. And there remained not so much as one of them. There wasn't one enemy pursuing them. And didn't the Lord say that? Didn't He tell them that? You'll not see these Egyptians again, no more, forever. And the Scripture says, he that believeth, shall not perish. Your sins are not going to catch up with you. Your past is not going to catch up with you. If you're rested in Christ, if you're looking to Christ, if you're walking by faith in Christ, your sins will not catch up with you. Your sins will not find you out. Now, isn't that good news? No, sir. The Lord said, they're gone. There is a scapegoat that took them away. They've been borne away. And you can look for them, but you'll not find them. And one of these days, we'll see, as we read that, didn't we? We read. You read that in 1 Corinthians 13. We'll know, even as we've been known. We'll know. Look at this, verse 29. They did. The children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. The Lord keeps saying that, doesn't He? For our comfort. You're not going to be overcome by this world. Though you think you are. Keep walking. Go forward. Now, if you turn back, you're going to perish. You join the Egyptians, but you keep walking forward. In spite of your sins, in spite of your fears, and that water will be a wall unto you. And you're going to pass over the shallow, dry land. Dry land. You're not going to hardly make it through the other side. They didn't all come crawling up on the shore. Oh, I didn't think we were going to make it. No, they were walking. Marching. Remember? Harnessed. Desire. How many of them made it? How many of them made it? All of them. How many of their enemies made it? None. Look at this. I love this. It says in verse 30, thus the Lord saved Israel that day. Now, how did they get out of Egypt? The Lord brought them out with a high hand. How'd they pass over that impassable city? Moses didn't part that water. The Lord did. How'd they make it across? The Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. The Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel, now here, they look at this. And Israel saw the Egyptians. They did see the Egyptians. Look at it. Dead on the shore. They did see him again, but with different eyes, didn't they? Completely different eyes. They weren't afraid of him anymore. And when we get to the other side, we're going to know that we were sinners. But we're not going to have guilt. We're not going to have any guilt. We're going to know that we were sinners. We're going to know something of what we were in this earth. But we're not going to have any tears. No shame. No. No sorrow. Now's the time to mourn over our sin. But then there won't be any mourning. We're going to know that we were sinners and the Lord saved us from our sin. And we're going to know as we were known. And we're going to look at this past life as if it was a tale that was told. And those sins and all this, the Lord's going to show us. It's like the Lord looking on iniquity, but it has no effect on Him, like us. Them. We see them. And we've got to know what we've been saved from to fully appreciate being saved from. No. But it won't cause us any guilt. Does that make sense? It won't cause us any shame. And we'll see our sin, but dead on the shore. They're not hounding us anymore, and they're not bothering. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sin, that washed away, literally, our sin, like these Egyptians. And verse 31, and Israel saw, what did they see? What did the Lord show them? That great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people, what did this cause? Fear. People feared the Lord and believed the Lord. And Moses for a while. Until the next Sunday. Until the next Sunday. They went walking and got in trouble again. And if you'd ask Joshua and Caleb, ask the ones that passed over. Ask them, just ask them, how'd you get here? Lord. Well, tell me how it all. Surely you had nothing to do with it. I was totally passive. I was sitting in Egypt. Well, in a pit in Egypt. In a slime pit. Didn't even know it. Thought it was all okay. Pretty content. But God came where I was. Revealed Himself to me. Didn't know there was a God. And sent His messenger. Sent His servant. The Christ. To reveal the true God. And He called me by His grace. And pulled me up out of the muck and the mire. And set my feet on a rock. And established my goings. And brought me out of this old world, which would have been my death. And I sojourned through this world by His power, kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Bless God. And I crossed over because God brought me here. God, it's salvation of the Lord. It's so great, salvation of the Lord. Well, what do you believe, Mr. Israelite? What do you believe? I believe God. I believe Christ. I believe the gospel. All right, stand with me. Thank you.